I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, we celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning. This is More Than Just a Podcast. It is season 10, it's episode 42. And yes, I am back from the Cotswolds. I'm sure you gave me a hard time last week. I heard from Nigel you didn't read out my question.
You didn't listen to it. You didn't, as per, like every link I send you that you don't read. You don't even
I'm a busy person.
Look, we're all busy.
What happened last week? What happened? I bet you gave me a grief and abuse on the podcast.
No, it weren't too bad. No more than you got last night over WhatsApp.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, at the moment, it's just you and me, Len, isn't it?
Should we sing a song?
No, John. We're recording on Tuesday. It all goes to pot when we don't record on a Monday. No, John. He's got a meeting with an air conditioning engineer. Why you'd have a meeting with an engineer, air conditioning engineer in the evening, I don't know. And George can't make it because he's babysitting his own baby. So that must mean his missus must be going out tonight. So he's looking after Jessica. And Nigel, well, we might get Nigel back a bit later, but he's on the phone to Virgin because he's lost his TV, so he can't watch Emmerdale. So this could be the shortest podcast in the history of More Than Just a Podcast.
Did you put a question there, Sean?
I'm going to write one in a minute. Anyway, yeah. I've been Sean. Len has been...
vague.
What's your prediction and let's go? Oh, I suppose we better talk about the game and I'll write a question. So let's start with you and I can write a question on Facebook.
Oh, let's start with me.
It was like watching Brazil, wasn't it, Len?
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
Five changes.
Yeah, it looked like they've been playing together for, all season. Beautiful stuff. Like you say, five changes. I think it's stunned Burnley.
Did that surprise you? Obviously, I did slightly know before, but decided to play the game and not releasing it. Mark Noble actually was substituted against Chelsea with a calf injury. And he never recovered from that. He didn't train. So we did know he was out. Ogbonna has picked up a small hamstring, grade one. Could be back or should be back, depends on you believe, for Everton. But that was him out as well. So five changes, two enforced. Obviously, Craig Dawson back in the team off his suspension. But the real surprise that caught me out, and you can say it, Len, Mikel Antonio caught me out. I was told by my senior source he wouldn't be back few more games and he wasn't training. Now, either that senior source sold me a pup or someone sold him a pup.
Well, they know how much you like to pay for a pup. How is your puppy anyway? It's ever so
it's all right. It's all right.
Did you post a picture up on the Facebook?
I did. Yeah. I did post a picture up.
He's a little sweetheart.
Yeah. It's getting quite big now.
But yeah, you were definitely sold the pup, weren't you? I don't think they like you.
You know what? It was a great pup to be sold. Because it was a nice surprise. When I was told just before the team came out, I went, nah, it's got to be wrong. And a few people had told me, Antonio's starting. I went, nah, he's not starting. And it was a lovely surprise. So I was pleasantly surprised.
And didn't he play well?
Didn't he play well? And I'd also been told, you know, Lanzini was starting. And you know, we say a lot of things about Lanzini. In fact, on the Facebook group, on a WhatsApp group, someone said to me, and it's actually, this is a different one. This is a racing one. You know the guy Simon Keane who owns
Cotty Tony Goal.
Yeah. Well, he said to me, and I told him he was completely wrong. He praised Lanzini. He says Lanzini will score tonight. I just know it. Nigel said, Lanzini, you've got some faith there. And he said, I've never lost faith in Lanzini. He's an absolute brilliant player.
And I
put, Nigel put before knee injury, BKI. And then I said afterwards, he's never been the same player since the injury. So he proved us wrong, didn't he? Simon was right. So I was right. He was a man of the match for me. I don't know what you thought.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, I've seen him play this position before. I think it might... I can't remember who was a manager at the time. But I think it was away at a Southampton game where he replaced Noble. And his command of the midfield and his reading of the game was really good. I thought it was as good as Noble's, but with more forward passing. So I'm surprised it's waited. It's been a couple of years since he's had another go to do it. And he's done it again. I think people expect him to be such a flair forward attacking player. I'm not so sure with Lanzini, to be honest. He's got a certain amount of... I like him in that Noble position. I thought he's made a good debutant. And now he's asked the manager a question because... it's his last year of his contract.
Well, your mate, Tonka, spoke to Hughie earlier, and he made a really good point. He said, how do you drop a winning team like that? After a performance like that, how do you change any one of them? He said, because otherwise you're telling them that it doesn't matter how well they play, they're a second-rate player when someone else is fit. And he's got a slight point there.
Yeah, he has got a good point. This is what's so good about the team this season. Moyes has installed whatever it is that's been installed, just a new togetherness and just a ethic there that's gone right through the squad. And it's shown in dividends. And I suppose what you could say is, would... If he did make a change, would the person who was put at the team sulk about it and think that's his chance over? I'd say no. So maybe this is sort of the type of...
How about Benrahma then? You know, we've both said stuff about Benrahma, and yet here's a guy who was fasting. You know, he's practicing Muslim, who's obviously observing Ramadan. Only been on water all day, and Moyes was asked about it. I think Diop is also a Muslim, but for whatever reason is not practicing Ramadan. Didn't eat, obviously. Only had water, trained in the day. And what a performance he put in. It was like a different player. I saw Moyes still criticised him about consistency and everything. And he was allowed to stop after sundown to the referee allowed him. It was agreed between the two teams that he stopped for an energy drink and something quick to eat. not an omelette or anything. I think it was something in a squeeze. Omelette and chips by the
side. A brevel.
Yeah, lovely, wouldn't it? You know, a little dinner there and little candles and stop to have a little snack. But no, I thought that was good. But what a game. What a game Benrahma had.
Yeah, not bad. Good. I mean,
apart from the stupid jokes.
Completely.
Right. Hang on, Nigel. You can have your time in a minute. Go on.
Benrahma looked completely up. No, Burnley looked completely shocked that he was playing. He found himself, actually, whoever was over that left hand side, found themselves with so much room. And I thought Benrahma took advantage of it wonderfully. It just, everything played into our hands. And even though it looked like Lingard had a bit of an off day, Benrahma seemed a little bit more on. We just got
the Algerian. I mean, the Algerian got really close to scoring. I had money on him to score his first goal at any time.
Oh, you lost your money then, didn't you?
I lost my money. He got really close.
I would have took the money off you.
So, Nigel will come in a minute. What else? Let's talk through the game. We've talked through a couple of the players. Let's talk for the game. Let's obviously we concede. Penalty for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a clumsy challenge that kind of had to be made. Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, he was going for the ball, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, of course he was. It was a bit too static.
A clumsy full of it.
One of them. That was all.
So, Antonio obviously answered in quick succession. Two good goals. Great header. Great second goal. Lined up by
second goal was lined up by Benrahma.
Yep, Benrahma to Soufal, wasn't it?
First one was Soufal, cross, yeah. Header.
He's almost got as many assists, by the way. He's one short of assists on Cresswell, and Cresswell has the most assists in the Premier League.
Who's Soufal?
Soufal is one short, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Great.
Good game as well.
And we should have had more, though, shouldn't we? We had like 11 shots on target in the first half.
No, we should have. We had a lot of the action, a lot of the goal math efforts, and we should have had more goals. It just wouldn't come, really. It just wouldn't.
There was one, and I've seen a clip today. I don't know if you've seen it. If not, I'll send it to you, where there was 15 passes before.
Yeah. No, I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's a shame we couldn't get it
in.
Did
we score from that, then, did we? The 15 passes?
No.
Oh,
fucking waste of time, then, wouldn't it?
You always have to spoil things, don't you?
It likes to bring you down to earth. That's all.
Before we go to Nigel, who disappointed yesterday? Lem.
What, from the team?
Yeah.
Sean Murphy.
Not talking to you, bloody. You only watched snooker. You didn't even watch the game. I don't know why we're coming to you, Nigel.
I did watch the game and the snooker at the same time.
All right, you can't do both.
For me, multitask. I'm not really sure anyone did.
You wouldn't say Diop was a little bit of a liability again?
Yeah, but listen, he's been looking that way for quite a while. And I wonder, there's a player there, but I wonder if he needs to be a little bit further up the pitch and out of a defensive unit, because I saw him at the Spurs game when we beat him the first time in the stadium. He had an outstanding game. And it looked like he was sweeper just in front of the defence. I'm not sure if he was, but it worked out that way. He had a blinder. And at one point, he went straight through in the middle, one-on-one with the goalie, and I thought he was going to score. So maybe like Declan Rice, maybe he'd be better off somewhere toward the midfield. Options galore, Sean. Options galore.
Yeah. Options galore. Well, Nigel's decided to join us. Apparently, he had problems with Virgin TV, which I'm sure he's going to tell us about now. Who watches TV anyway? What do you watch on TV?
Football.
You got Woody's box for that?
Yeah, I know, but...
You're a bit quiet. Can you talk closer to the microphone?
Is that better?
No.
No?
No.
Hold on.
Is that better? Got the...
That sounds a little bit better.
Yeah.
Is it still a bit quiet? Hold on.
You're a bit quiet.
You are a bit quiet. It's all right. You're quite loud anyway.
Well, generally I am. People, you know, like to tell me to tone it down, but I can fix this.
Yeah.
So I will fix this now while I talk.
All right, we'll go back to Len. Who was your man of the match, Len?
Is that better?
Waiting for him to...
Oh, that's perfect.
See, I told you.
Who was your man of the match,
it?
Len, before we go to Nigel?
My man of the match, I think I'm going to say Soufal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not Lanzini.
Just over Lanzini.
I'm going to give it to Lanzini, even
though... That's fair enough, because he did come in and, you know, hold, all right, you swayed me then. Lanzini's very
good. You're so easily swayed. Nigel, did you watch the game or did you watch the bloody snooker? Because all you kept on going on about all day Sunday, snooker, snooker, snooker.
No, I watched the football. I had the snooker on the telly, and then when the football started, I put the football on the telly. And then had the snooker on my mobile phone.
Okay. Who won snooker then?
Selby. It was a close game. Okay. Obviously, I was cheering for Bingham up until you didn't get a clue. I said, if Bingham had got the final and won, you would have had a story.
Why?
Because Bingham's a Basildon boy from Sports West Ham.
Oh, is he?
So
you see, I stopped watching snooker back in Dennis Taylor, and who's in his 70s now, and... Steve Davis.
Well,
do you know what? We used to know Jimmy White. We'll tell you a story about this if John was here. We used to...
He's still alive.
Jimmy White was a local lad. I could tell you some stories about Jimmy White.
He was from Tooting, wasn't he?
Yeah,
but he lived locally. He lived in Wimbledon. At some point, he either lived in Chesington or... Serpton.
That's where people go when they got money in it.
Yeah. So anyway, he used to come down our pub. We used to drink at a pub called what used to be called the Academy, and then it was called the Cap in Hand, but it was the Academy at the time.
Sounds
and
like
it was,
West Ham.
Yeah, the Academy.
and Cap in Hand.
We used to. Anyway, I think he just made it as a big player, snooker player, and he used to come down, and he would play people. For Paul, to hustle him. Not to hustle him, but, you know, you can play a world champion, or I don't know if he'd won the world championship there.
Never won it in his career.
Oh, didn't he? All right, so you can win someone who almost won the world championship at Paul, and, like, he'd take 20 quid off you. You know, if you can beat me, you win 20 quid. If not, you pay me 20 quid, and he'd be there. Taking 20 quid, which went 20 quid was a lot of money, by the way. That's my story about Jimmy White.
You explained it so well. All those people that never knew what hustle was, Sean.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, it's not a snooker podcast. It is a football podcast. What did you make of the game, Nige?
I'll tell you what. Moyes has surprised me with the inclusion of Lanzini and Benrahma.
Yeah.
And leaving out a Bowen. But you can't fault the man, can you? I mean, one, it looked an attacking lineup, and two,
it did.
Boy, did we attack.
We did.
A great performance away from home. I don't know if you've covered this. It was our eighth away win in the Premier League, which is, I believe, now...
I haven't covered that, but I've done it most, with you, but you're right.
The most we've had in a season. So, Benrahma, all he needed was a goal. And I think he still needs that goal, and he keeps looking for it. Sometimes the camera will pan to Moyes after Benrahma would, like, over it across, and you could see Moyes look away. But what they don't show you is Moyes doing the same when all the other players did that.
Yeah.
So...
It seems to be quite harsh on Benrahma in the post-match interview.
But what it might do is it might drive Benrahma on. It's man management now, isn't it? So what we got is, we've got a gifted player, but he just needs, sometimes his decision-making at the last minute, in the middle
That's
of the
exactly
pitch.
What Moyes says is about his decision-making.
I didn't watch his interview because I put the snooker on. So when he gets the ball in the middle of the pitch, I think he's fantastic. around the box, the last killer ball. I know he's got a few assists and he can cross the ball well, but he does lose it or misplace passes and not put through. But that's possibly because sometimes he's attempting to thread the eye of a needle with his passing. But, you know, he's getting better. And the thing about it is, you know, a lot of people will be saying, oh, he's not achieving anything. Have we bought a dud? Well, I don't think we have. He'll grow into it. He's still young enough.
Yeah.
He'll get better. Next season, I predict he'll be even better. If we got a penalty, I'd bloody give him the penalty. Just get your goal,
really?
Mate.
Just to give him a goal.
Yeah, just to, well, obviously, if you're winning the game, you know. So just to give him a goal.
Good pen taken by Chris Wood. I mean, I think Fabianski got a slight.
Yeah, I think Chris Wood made a meal out of it. I mean, he got his obligatory goal against West Ham as Sky had bigged him up before the game. And Chris Wood duly divvied. I'm not sure. You know, yes, it was a pen. But do you know what? There's a bit of me that thinks Chris Wood's ran into him rather than.
Yeah, he could have stayed on his feet.
Souček hung his leg out. That was the problem. It was a pen, you know. You can't argue with that. So it was good to not have any contentious VAR decisions for a change.
It was, wasn't it?
To moan about. So all in all, you know, a really good day at the office. Sets us up nice.
Well, how many shots do you reckon we had?
22.
That's right. Actually, know that.
Mm-hmm. He watched the game, Sean.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't count them. Come on, he did not count 22 shots.
But I'm good enough. How many on target? Four, wasn't it?
Four, yeah.
Oh, wow.
55% possession for West Ham, 45 for Burnley, that means. They had eight shots, three on target. We had 22, four on target. So maybe not as clinical as we thought it was. But no, I'll tell you what, a lot of those 22 shots were quite close.
So, that's so what did you think? We've got to learn to be. That the one thing is, and this is what I hope Moyes will stress to him, and I think you may show that I've not seen his reaction after. If he was frustrated, is that what you've got to remember is we're playing Burnley here. Now, if we're playing better teams, you've got to be clinical. And you've got to treat the lesser teams like you're playing the bigger teams and be clinical to them, because it builds your confidence, getting shots in on target, putting the ball away, scoring goals. And it builds your confidence. So when you go out against the likes of, well, not so much Everton now because they're falling away, but if we was playing, you know, Chelsea or whatever next, they would build far more confidence, because we should have beat them 4-5-1 all day long. That's the only criticism. Got to be more clinical.
Got to be more clinical.
Anything else to say about the game? Antonio's impact? I mean, very unlucky not to get, I mean, the hat trick. I mean, it was easier. He hit his own leg with his left leg. I mean, there was
suggestion. Well, he was showboating a bit, wasn't he?
And he was. Apparently he was trying to get a perfect hat trick by calling it scoring one with his other leg or something.
Well, yeah, well, you got left foot, right foot, header. But trying that.
Do you reckon he was doing that?
I think he was trying to do the fancy behind flick, and he flicked it onto his own leg. If you're going to criticise, you say you don't do that at 2-1, you do it at 3 or 4-1. But at the end of the day, the bloke had a fantastic game, straight back from injury.
Played the whole 90 minutes, good. I thought. Yeah.
Do you know what? I think Moyes might have done a stroke. Play him then. Give him Everton. And then it could be rest him against West Brom, is it, after that, or Brighton?
It is Brighton.
We've got to look after him. So we don't then get West the relegate, Saladai. We don't get the relegate, do we, Sam, unfortunately?
He's going to get relegated before then, isn't
before
he?
Before then, yeah. I was gutted about that. I'd like to have relegated him.
So anything else you want to discuss on the game before we move on?
Not for me.
Not for me, no.
Injury-wise...
We've got to look on to the next one.
Yeah, injury-wise, obviously Declan Rice failed his fitness test, but he has really, really got a very good chance to be fit for Everton. He's telling people that. He told a number of people that.
That was chat.
I don't think he actually told Hammers Chat that, but he has told other people that he'd be back for Everton. So that would be good news. Although going back to what we said earlier, who do you drop? It might seem a bit unfair. Who else is injured? I'm not sure Noble will be back. Takes a little bit longer for him. He's not been injured that much in his career, has he? But I don't think he's going to be back for Everton. No. Masuaku still out. He could be fit. So I think, you know, all the ones that matter will be back. Ogbonna should be back. You know, he's going to only miss one game, possibly two. So he should be back for Everton, or if not Brighton. So, you know, we've got all to play for the running. The only story I want to talk about, because I know this will wind up Nigel, because I know you missed me last week. You remember my famous story about using Transfer Market to look at valuations?
You do it a lot, so I don't know about a famous story. I think
I decided to run a story, and the headline was Hammers Summer Transfer Kitty could reach 111 million. Did you read that one?
Where would I have read it?
On Clarendon Hugh.
No, I didn't.
Oh. Well, it did make a bit of a splash on Twitter, even though there was a social. So what I said was, we've been offered 50 million, or David Moyes has been offered 50 million transfer budget. He's also almost admitted that by saying, you know, when he was asked whether you'd buy Tammy Abrams for 45 million, he said, we won't pay that much for one player. And the press said to him, why is that your whole budget? And he said, yeah, around that. So he's pretty much admitted it. So what I looked at, these are the people that could be sold. And some of these you'll go, ugh. So Issa Diop, Philippe Anderson, Mikel Antonio, Manuel Lanzini, Arthur Masuaku, and Ian Malenko. Now, the price the Transfer Market has on these, Issa Diop, 16.2. Philippe Anderson, 13.5 million. Mikel Antonio, 10.8. Manuel Lanzini, 9 million. Arthur Masuaku, 6.75 million. And Ian Malenko, 4.5. Now, usually, Transfer Market's a bit low. Do you think we can get anything close to the prices quoted on Transfer Market for those players? And would you let any of them go? Would you keep any of them? Which ones would you keep, Nigel?
I'd keep Antonio.
Would you?
Yeah, I would.
He is 31, right? I know he did really well yesterday. I'm just trying to be a bit level-headed.
So hold on. So you're telling me that he's just had possibly his best season with us, when you think how good he has been. Yeah. So
he's got hamstrings made of cheese. Ah, though.
So you can manage him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've got it. He's a 20 a game.
Right. So you don't sell him. You bring in a player that will support that position, i.e., the likes of Sam Maximum, Traore.
Okay. Fair enough.
Or someone like that. That ilk that plays this in the same type of way, because it's no good going out there buying a Haller type of player. At the end of the day, Haller, you know, is getting goals.
By the way, on sale today, Allaire scarves and £4 at the club shop. If you want to grab one quickly,
no, you aren't. So you know, it's not worth buying a player of that ilk because we know it's not going to fit in with this system. You know, why has Jesse Lingard scored more goals than in this short period of time than anyone else while he's been at the club? It's because he actually fits in well to that system of breaking from midfield players with pace, with a shooting ability. So that's the type of player that we've got to target.
All right. Len.
Yes.
Twist. Buy two decent young strikers in, or buy one striker and persist with Mikel Antonio next year?
Mm. Well, really, it's down to whatever Moyes wants to do and whatever becomes available.
All right, but I'm putting you in charge for the second. What would you prefer to do? Stick with what you know? Or bring in two new, ugly, raw replacements? I'm not saying what the right or wrong answer.
I'd just bring one in because I wouldn't like to make too much of a change.
Yeah.
That's okay, just my personal.
Yarmolenko, $4.5 million. Stick or twist for you?
Oh, twist.
Oh, really? You think for the small amount of money, it's not worth it? He's a high earner. I think he earns over 100 grand a week.
We won't get any for him. Even when on the free, just get rid of the wages.
Nigel, no. Yarmolenko?
I think the time's up, isn't it?
Yeah. He has shown some brilliance against Everton.
Yeah.
Remember that game?
Yeah. Like, what are we going to do? Yeah. Pick one game. It's like saying we've had really good games at the London Stadium. And I go, and then you go, Chelsea the first season.
I like Yarmolenko personally. Yeah. Matsuwaku, right? Some people go, he's not a left back. He's a left midfielder. He has had some good form. Nearly 7 million. Would you take that? Would you keep him, Nigel?
Masuaku, yeah, I'd keep him.
Yeah. You keep him. No. Len?
Yeah, I'll keep him.
All right. Manuel Lanzini, 9 million. Now, I think before yesterday, I would have said sell. Are you still saying sell today, Nigel?
Lanzini, I would if there was a replacement lined up. What I'm not in favour of is selling players to get funds in, but without having the players lined up to come straight in.
Okay, fair enough.
So I know it's a fine line, but Lanzini, we know how good he is as a player. Yes, he hasn't been like that for a couple of years. Could he get back to that level? Yes, because he's still young enough.
Was he putting himself in the shop window yesterday?
No, I just think...
being cynical?
I think he was being a bit cynical there, yeah.
Len, stick or twist with Lanzini?
It's your question. I'd be tempted to stick it in regards to what Noble's situation is. You know, he might not... Yeah. I mean, he looks ahead of Noble all of a sudden, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So
had a good game.
Otherwise, you're going to be a little bit wholesale 2 years down the line.
Two more to go. Now, I know the answer on this one, and I think this is where transfer market go completely wrong. Philippe Anderson, 13.5. Would snap people's hands off for that, or does anyone believe he should be given a second chance?
No.
Nigel?
Do you know, we've not... Did Moyes play him?
Yeah.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he didn't really do a lot.
No.
So then, sell, move
on. In fact, I think he let Moyes down. I'll go that fast.
Because if you look at the Anderson that played when he joined under Pellegrini, I think that Anderson would fit well into this system.
Yeah.
But
so what happened to him? I mean, he can't defend.
Can't, we needed.
He can't get into Porto. You know, he's been on the bench since February. Huh?
That's what's wrong with him. He's got no bollocks.
You know, I saw a picture the other day.
He doesn't want it.
And he had these boots on, which I thought he was injured, but apparently that's what they have, compression ice now at home. And I thought, train? He hasn't even been on the bench, never alone bloody play. He hasn't been on the bench since February. Just because an agent wanted him out in Portugal. I feel sorry for him a little bit. Right, anyway, last player, probably the most controversial and the one with most value on transfer market, 16.2 million. We bought him for 20 million. It's a Diop. Made a mistake yesterday. Not his first mistake. He's obviously the youngest of all those players, which is why he's got more value. Nigel?
It's a deal. No, I wouldn't sell him. He's not a bad defender.
He's prone to mistakes, though, isn't he?
Well, a lot of defenders. Alvin Martin was prone to mistakes. I hate to say it. You know, yeah. Tony Gow was prone to the odd slip. You know, Bobby Moore fell over a few times. You know,
did he? Bloody hell.
No, no.
He started flying, mind.
Oh, yeah, all right. I know I'm being a bit harsh. But don't forget, you know, 1973 against the Poles when he slipped. And, you know, they scored. So, you know, even Bobby, and at the end of his career. Right.
Well, I'm being harsh. Is it experience or I guess he's still learning his game. I'm probably answering my own question here. Is he ready to be a regular Premier League centre-back, is my question.
Well, at the end of the day, he's playing for a team that's fifth in the league, and he has been playing.
One could argue, though, only when, you know, who would have imagined that this year at two centre-backs are the two oldest ones. You know, our first and second choice are Bonner and Craig Dawson. Again, Craig Dawson. We didn't talk about Craig
but
Dawson.
But Diop's played a lot of games since Bonner got injured, yeah?
Yep.
And we're still sitting fifth. I'm not knocking. Hold up. You was talking about Diop. Don't. What you're doing is finger pointing again, yeah? You've got this bad habit where you're sort of losing it a bit and you go, oh, but look at them over there. Talk about Diop. We're fifth in the table with Diop playing a lot of games. I can't see why we're looking to sell him.
All right, fair enough. Just mention Craig Dawson. Craig Dawson, that one off the line, I forgot all about it. But what a clearance that was.
Well, it was quite easy.
His experience shines through on games like yesterday. I thought he had a really good game. Anyway, is there anything else we want to discuss before we go to question time with either you twos?
I've been sent a text. It's quite funny. Oh.
By the way, Thomas Souček is going to win Hammer of the Year, hands down by landslide.
Why? Because you done that your poll. I did vote Thomas Souček on that poll.
I thought he was Czech, not poll.
Yeah. Boom, boom. He got 52 or 53% of the vote. Rice second, like 20%. Then Vladimir Soufal. And then it was Jesse Lingard. Then it was poor old dog Bonner in way back. And then Cresswell. And no one else really got a look in.
Funny that you should say that. The Souček.
That was a kid's magazine when I was a kid.
Not Souček. What was Kids Magazine?
Looking.
Hey, I remember Looking. Always had a free gift, didn't it?
It did.
Anyway.
That's lost you, isn't
anyway.
It?
Anyway, you were talking about a text.
So a good friend of mine, Stevie Max, sent me a text. He said, you thought you might find this interesting. So this is what someone has said on Amazon United. Bear with me. It says, from the last accounts, 2019-20, the loss before tax was 65 million. That includes a 25 million profit on players sold, operating loss of 90 million. So apparently only one Premier League club made an operating profit. In 2019-20, it was Newcastle, made a 3 million. This is very confusing. The sales of the Bolin generated 8.7 million, which was included in West Ham's accounts. Not taken privately, as you all seem to believe, and no special dividend was taken. It was just reduced the overdraft. Owners have spent $411 million in the last 5 years on transfers. We are the seventh in the net spend table. To be clear, only six clubs have spent more than us over that 5 years. The move from the bowling has generated no increase in match day revenue. Still $27 million, as it was in the final season at Upton Park. He's put current debt, excluding debt owed to the owners, is 56 million plus the 20 million overdraft, plus the emergency loan to Michael Dell at 9%. So 196 million externally.
Who is this from?
This is someone on Amazon United.
There's a lot of inaccuracies here.
The owners are put in, get this, and the 54 million the owners put in, so 250 million total is the debt. Those are the facts, he says. And they prove that the owners have not milked the club. And they have done the opposite, put money in. 54 million, he says. The only money they've taken out has been interest on those loans. And in addition, they would be personally, jointly, and severely liable for the debts if the club cannot pay. Michael Dell debt will be converted to shares and therefore ownership of West Ham if the default is put. That's how the Elliott Group got control of AC Milan. But you lot carry on with your ignorant rubbish. Ignore the facts because you don't like them.
Well,
which is interesting.
Some of it has got some truth. I mean, the whole move into the London Stadium, you know, it was an exceptional year, the last year at the Bowlinge. Yes. You can't take that as a...
In fact, you only got that because it was the last year. Because if it weren't the last year, it wouldn't have been that figure. It would have been a lot less.
I always say, look at the second to last year and the second season. So both were exceptional. Being in the first season was exceptional. At the London Stadium, being in the Bowling was exceptional. You have to take second to last year and the second year in the and there's about 12 million difference. You know, the owners have loaned about 54 million, but they've taken about 20 million out of interest and are still owed 45 million in those loans, which they continue to take, obviously, interest. Some of those loans are actually from companies like David Gold's company, and I've talked to you about David Gold's commitment recently. So there's some half-truths in there. There was a really... Do you listen to Price of Football by Afrin Kieran?
No.
There's a really good question on this week. I mean, there's been so much, obviously, in, you know, the Dirty Six and what's going on at Swindon and everything. And a question came in from a supposed West Ham fan. And the question was this: are West Ham the worst run club in the Premier League? What do you think, Nigel? What do you think Kieran answered?
I would think Kieran answered, and bearing in mind he's a Brighton fan, so he's got no reason to whatever to say that no, we're not the worst run football club in the league. And actually,
he said they were talking about, and the examples they gave was losing money on Allaire, that we only sold Allaire. This is how people get sometimes. We only sold Allaire because we couldn't afford to pay his instalments. We sold him to pay the instalments.
Yeah, not true.
Because we couldn't afford the instalments. It's not true. We sold him because he was rubbish and we cut our losses and we couldn't believe someone would pay 20 million.
I don't think that was quite true either, but still, carry on.
But anyway, what he said was, it depends what you call badly run. If you're talking about losses, he said, he did the calculation on his spreadsheet. He said West Ham were the seventh Premier League to make the biggest amount of losses, right? He said, if you're talking about losses, then Man City and Chelsea make so much more losses. You know, it's not about making losses. If you can service the debt, it doesn't matter what your debts are. It doesn't matter what your losses are. You know, there is no way a Man City or Chelsea would ever be sustainable. So how much losses you make, how much money you borrow. If you look at Liverpool, right, or Man United and the money they borrow, you know, or you look at, I think, Burnley with its leveraged takeover. I think Liverpool was a leveraged takeover, wasn't it? Which means... You borrowed money to buy the club.
Put in the company,
yeah. And they put the debt onto the club.
Yeah. And of course, you've got these calls about Man City and the Glazers. So, no, West Ham are not the worst run club. And he was asked to ask what the worst run club is. Do you know who he picked out?
Newcastle?
No. It wasn't a Premier League club, or it used to be a Premier League club.
Wigan?
Blackpool?
No. Sunderland.
Well, to be honest.
Not bad.
Be careful what you wish for.
As a keen admirer of what goes on at Sunderland, they're on to another owner who now looks about 21. But he's welcomed because the owners that bought them when they were doing Sunderland Till I Die, turned out to have no money whatsoever.
Yeah.
So all the fanciful things that he claimed.
But you have a point there, don't you? Kieran has a point. That, look, West Ham, we live in a West Ham bubble sometimes. There are a lot, you know, we're showing here where, Man United really coming against their owners. We're not alone.
But this is the thing with this Big Six, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going GSB in at all or whatever. And, you know, my reasons for GSB out for whatever, but why, you know, I would never take part now in a protest to drive them out. And I'll wait for them to go because, you know, nature will take its toll.
It is a story.
But hold up. But that's the only thing on my side. And I know it's a thing, but that's the thing that at some point they will have to go.
This is
going to be a funny thing, right? You're aware of what Chelsea have announced tonight. They're going to have three supporters on the board. So we could have a situation where Wissa, Sue Watson is on the board, right? What's his name from Hammers United?
Yeah, anyone. Crack on. Don't need to name people, but all right.
Bubbles.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of who else.
Gio, by the way, it's going.
Jim Grant.
He sent me an email this morning.
But there is, the government have announced there's going to be a fan-led review of football clubs, and they're going to look at different governance model, including the German model, where they can own a percentage
already. And this is the thing. I don't think that the fans own 50% of the clubs. I think what they do is own 50 plus 1% of the voting rights.
Oh.
And there is a thing, and this is a thing, and it's not all clubs. Yeah, Leipzig are not run like that because they're owned by Red Bull. I think Hoffenheim are the same. Yeah, I think the older clubs are run in that way, but it's been done from the original setup. I'm not sure Wolfsburg, because Wolfsburgs are still bankrolled, I think, by Volkswagen. My German friend can chip in with a text later to me about that, because I have been asking him questions and trying to get to the bottom of area, because I don't think that works over here. And the fact is that because that was done when the clubs were set up and it was enshrined in the rules, you can't have private business people like we've got owning our football clubs and then say you've got to sell half of them to the fans or give up, you know, control of the club to the fans. Oh, but we're only giving you, you know, a fraction of what it's now worth, because they'll take all their money and go. And there is a problem, and this is a thing that I'm finding now, is football fans are being empowered with all these protests, and some of the Sky reporting of it I think's terrible, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And completely unfair.
Yeah. And what it is for me is that football fans now have always wanted to have their cake and eat it. And sometimes when I try and point things out, put your feet on the ground, as you say, is trying to point out you can't have it both ways. You can't demand our owners go out. You know, people were complaining. You run a story, and this is where I go about the damage you do, Sean. You run a story about 50 million plus player sales, and there were people complaining only 50 million plus player sales.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So we get all that. And they're doing that at the same time where they're rallying against the people. The reason why those six went off to form a European Super League was because they wanted more money, but because they need the money to run the football clubs. Because what they've done is they've overspent on players and agents and everything and built and run it off of debts, and the debts need paying. But football fans still demand more, more, more.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question, and then we'll move on to questions. Chelsea are going to put three people on the board. How would you choose three people to represent if West Ham did the same and followed suit? Right, it's three fans on the board, you know. How do you choose three people fairly that represent everybody?
You can't do that, Sean. There is no fair way, because this is a problem, yeah?
So how do you choose? How will Chelsea choose?
Well, if Chelsea say they're going to be elected, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Actually, it will be interesting to see what how they do it and do they go. Because
Would you stand if West Ham asked for fan representation? Depends
on the criteria, Sean. I don't want to be part of the Football Supporters Association.
No, just say you're an independent elected body. Well, an independent fan can stand to be a fan on the board.
Yeah, probably. I'd look at the criteria and see what I thought.
Well, if you do, I'm standing against you.
Mate.
You'd get less votes than Nigel.
I think you'd be in beer. You know, let's face it, when we both stood together on Whistler, I got double yours votes.
We still got more than anyone else.
So yeah. I'm not being big-headed there, but if you want to stand against me, you know, I don't think it's really going to affect my voting share. But how you pick the criteria, this is the thing. The club have gone down the road now, setting up this independent supporters club, and it's allied with the Football Supporters Association. But how are the Football Supporters Association? Who votes for them? They have votes every year. Yeah. They've had the same fucking chairman for 15 years.
Yeah, it's got to be an independent vote from all the supporters. I still think there'll be apathy. I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, we could talk forever on
bloody football governance. But what this is a sop to a movement at the moment. This is not a long-term decision. Now, I would rather wait and go and see. And this is the thing that I'm worried about, this fans-led review. You know, I've drawn up my own bullet points for a fans review, because that's what, realistically, every fan should do.
Have you not read the terms of reference?
So, well, no, I haven't.
For the committee?
What, to draw up the fans' league review?
No, there is. There's a terms of reference published the week before. I'll send it to you.
See, it's all a bit rushed to me, you know, and this is the thing. You know, with a review like this, you need, because my bullet points attend to the fact that I'm a match-going supporter. So when you're looking at it, I'm saying I don't want football played on a Friday and a Monday night. Every Premier League game should be on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea you drawing up bullet points, Nigel.
Why?
What are you doing, drawing?
It basically, every fan should put down what they all want and then submit it. So I've just drew up, you know, a list of things from the Premier League to the FA Cup and the League Cup, how I think... what my personal point of view is, I'll put it out there and people as a discussion point. But that's how it should be, isn't it?
Look, I'm not, as you know, when the Burnley thing happened, I won't condone what happened on the pitch against Burnley in 2018. But isn't it interesting? You know, I was labelled as one of the crowd because I was in front of the director's box with John and George.
And coins.
We weren't coining. I was actually filming. Actually, the security people knew exactly what I was doing. I was filming it all. And then, funny enough, the FA, I put it on YouTube, and the FA and the Premier League took it down, even though I don't know how they own the copyright, because I wasn't filming the game. I was filming the crowd. But anyway, when that happened, right, there was no violence. I certainly didn't see... anyone cut or flares being thrown and everything. In the papers, we were called vile scum. Went all around the world. Vile scum.
Let's get this right. We do know that coins were thrown. We do know that stuff was thrown into the director's box.
Was it? Actually, there was. You're right. I was there as well, Sean, watching it.
I know what I saw.
I didn't see... I saw scarves being thrown, but you're right. The coins, I didn't see anyone throw them, but I did see the reports by Trevor Brooking and other people. Thrown. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
But anyway, the point I'm making is Manchester United, right, broke in. So trespass, criminal damage. You know, they broke in.
Assault.
They cut a guy. They cut outside. A security. They cut a security guy's
face with a broken bottle. I think they threw it at him, not glassed him. Two police injured, one slashed with a bottle as well, the other one in hospital. They threw flares with no worry that burned the bloody temperature of the sun, with no concern about where they were going.
You know where they were frying him, though, at? You know what they were frying him at?
The empty director's box.
No, the sky box.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that funny, is it? It was dangerous. But here's my point. Vile scum, West Ham were called, West Ham fans. But some of the media, even the Premier League, said, we can't condone this, but we understand fans are thinking strongly about this. It almost reminds me of Liverpool, you know? Always the victims, never their fault. Suddenly, Man United are sort of vaguely sort of being praised for standing up for football.
No, I'd see, this is the thing.
And the media sort of lapped it up. They didn't want to criticise Man United fans for protesting. It was almost like West Ham fans vile, you know, Man United fans, warriors of the people. That's the sort of impression I got.
No, because it's the context. And what you got to look at is that we were protesting against our owners for moving us and for the lies and everything else.
They were
but
protesting
just one.
Against our owners.
I don't know. Yeah, but they're part of a six that tried to destroy the Premier League.
Yeah, but they're
League.
Not protesting for their six. They're grabbing on an opportunity.
No, but this is how it's being portrayed by the media. This is how the media get round it.
Yeah, but it's
because
wrong.
It's part of the big... Because it's a cool celeb now. You know,
never.
The likes of Gary Neville get to sit and tell us how wonderful it is, all these
Never
protests.
Never has a Premier League game been postponed because of fan action.
I know.
Look, they were outside the Lowry Hotel and they stopped the team bus. They stopped you know, this is direct action. The FA rule book says if a club fails to control its fans and the fixture doesn't go ahead, the 3 points are automatically awarded to the other side. Now, that won't help us because they go to Liverpool, right, rather than Man United.
Yeah.
The Premier
rules
League...
Rules is rules. Huh? But rules are rules, aren't
That's
they?
That's the rules, but
they won't
Premier
be implied.
League... Premier League say... It contradicts it, say they can't be held accountable. And their thing is... Well, you know, they're... You know, they can't, the police had...
It depends how they deem. Did the fans
police
outside the Lowry...
agree to postpone the game.
Did the fans outside the Lowry stop the coach from leaving?
Apparently, yes.
This is the thing, because the Lowry is about 2.5 miles away, 3 miles from Old Trafford. So it's out of the remit of Manchester United Football Club to control. Yeah. So therefore, they could use that. Oh, no. Yeah. But it gives the Premier League, an out into not giving
but
points.
But also, COVID red zone was breached, right? Yeah. And they said they were checking because there could have been sharp objects left on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, how could you proceed? West Ham, I
Tesco's
don't know if you remember
this. Because sales of 4-pack had gone through the roof by the looks of all them.
When West Ham had this, I don't remember, even though the stewarding was outside our control, we still got fined £100,000 by the FA
again,
a year later.
Your finger pointing.
What will happen to Man United?
Well, I hope they get fined.
Nothing will happen to them.
I don't know.
Do you know what? They're toothless. There will be no points deduction.
No.
There will be a very limited fine. It will probably be £100,000, the same as West Ham. It will be a little tap on the screen.
This is a funny thing, because what you're doing, Sean,
will get nothing either.
What you're doing there is you've just labelled Liverpool fans. I don't like this. We're always the victim. You're playing the victim card now.
I'm not playing the victim.
You are, because what you're saying is, they did this to West Ham.
No,
we got labelled to this.
No, I'm just talking about a level playing field, Nigel. I thought we were right to be.
What is she saying? He said that a precedent has been set.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. All these media outlets in the last couple of weeks have had the faux outrage about the Super League. They've had their own little Super League for years.
Yeah.
And you've seen it with these fan protests. Arsenal were even leveraged to sell the club through Sky Sports. You saw it yesterday.
Yeah.
This is just a joke. Everyone's playing.
I mean, I know
laws.
You questioned me on WhatsApp, Sean, about because I do support the green and gold campaign, that the that Man United fans do. And I it's a pity we, you know, I don't know what other colour we could choose. You know, I've often thought
Oxford
we
should. Blue.
Well, for me, I've often thought that we should have all black scarves made and just have West Ham United scarves in black and white to show that the West Ham we support is dead. And this is like a new West Ham. Obviously, you know why United fans use green and gold, Sean, didn't you?
Because that's the original kit that they from wore when team? They were something else.
Newton Heath.
Newton Heath.
That's it.
So there is something there, and I get it with the Man United fans, that this a lot of it as well is built up from the way they bought the club. They weren't a club that was in debt. They are a club that's in debt. The Glazers have took more money out of Man United than our owners probably ever will manage to. So
anyway, we're on the hour, Mark. I forgot to ask you, where are you?
I'm in my shed.
Shedman. Anyway, we're on the hour.
Just say quickly that the speed I'm going with this sticker book, it's gonna take me another end of the season of podcasts to get to the end. I'm only on to Newcastle.
Anyway, it's time for this.
Yeah.
It's Facebook Twitter question time, where you, the eight listeners, get to ask us.
Twitter, what? It might be.
Why?
Well, I didn't put a question up. I'm on strike.
I did.
You didn't, you muppet.
Why?
Why?
I'm on strike.
Well, Len told me
I forgot you got shit, didn't you? I asked him to do it. I forgot, but sorry, Nigel got shit.
I'm fed up with all the complaining.
Oh, Nigel's come boycotted. On, be more thick-skinned.
Nigel's boycotted. Listen,
down, dear. It's only a podcast.
Nigel can boycott question time.
Well,
if
why
you
don't
like.
You just read out the questions that you want to read out and don't read out?
No, because I don't do that. I'm not falling for your thing. I'll read out every question that's in front of me. Last week, people, I did a deal with George, 90-minute podcast only, which bearing in mind, we know George loves an hour. So to get another 30 minutes out of him was brilliant. And I want to keep them involved and everything. And you've got to keep it good for them as well, because they've got busy lives as much as we all have. They haven't got time to sit around for 3 hours while I read out the same question and have fun with you lot.
Well, yeah, I've put a 150 character limit on questions this week.
Right. You're trying to the characters.
That's Marion Williams out, so you don't have to do him. There's 26 comments.
Right. Well, let me go. Let's start with Twitter today, yeah?
So, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Mark Reaper has asked, or we call him Kevin, I should point out. Please ask Sean, is there any truth in the transfer link to Genoa striker, chronic masturbator?
No.
I should read these first. Dan 31, 60, 43, 40. Has Sean had his Southampton ticket email yet?
I wouldn't be able to do that because
we're talking about what's going on with Southampton, actually. Because bearing in mind, we've got 3 weeks till the game.
Yeah, Nigel needs to make plans, Sean.
Yeah.
Well, what
did the little fella say?
Do you know what? The main reason for this is the Premier League hasn't actually voted on it yet.
Oh, what?
But they will do.
Dan 3160 said about the Southampton email. He said, any truth West Ham are scouting Asian players such as Chu Kok? As we know, it's a big market for revenue.
No.
The women's team's on a slide, Dan. I don't think we'll be looking at her.
Have we dumped the women's
They've survived,
team
by the way.
They have.
You'll
survived.
Be glad to know.
Yes. No, I know. By the skin of their teeth.
Although I hear Birmingham are going to get a points deduction for fielding an eligible player. Anyway.
Don't matter, we're above. It's Birmingham, it's Bristol City's that bottom of the table last time I looked.
The league will be a poor place without Bristol City.
I just wanted to say thank you to to three people, because Sean pointed out this week that three people had thrown some shekels our way on a thing that I knew nothing about until Sean put it in, because we were all surprised. And one of them I'd noticed was Stuart Ling. So, Stuart, you threw some shekels our way. Thank you very much. I don't know what we'll do with it, but we'll probably figure that out later. I'm not going to tell people where they threw the shekels or whatever, because I'm not in this for money, and I don't want to encourage people to do it. I just want to say thank you. I think Palumi was right. Another one, and there was someone else. I didn't see the name. So it is humbling when people do that and say the nice things that they say.
You're right. We haven't advertised it, and people bung us a quid.
Yeah.
And I think we've earned, over the last 3 years from this, we've earned £23. So, but we do appreciate it, and we will have a drink.
But because Stuart's name's come up, and I noticed it was him. So thanks a lot, Stuart. He's put, here we go. He says, sorry for doing it on here, but he's on a Facebook ban. He's in Facebook jail, old Stuart. Naughty boy. Fantastic win last night. Great individual performances. Diop coming for a lot of stick in the first half, but came back strong in the second, put in a solid performance. I think we've done this. Would you keep him in the sun or cut your losses? You've already heard what we think there, Stu. He thinks he's one for the future. Has all the attributes, so do I. It concentrates and lets him down, but he's still young. But I hope it continues with us rather than elsewhere. And he says he thinks he's got a bright future and Moyes rates him. Thanks for that, Stu. Wellinghammer says, what a team last night. Shackles off. Two discussion points. Benrahma should be encouraged to play more of the sexy 15-yard killer passes rather than the wild shots. And Wellinghammer goes in hard. Diop again this week. Amateur balls over his head and lack of concentration are frustrating.
Brady out.
There you go.
Can I delete ones over 150 characters?
No.
That was the rules.
No.
So, Marion,
no. You don't make the rules.
Richard, just let me delete them. They can't follow rules. They can't follow
deleting.
Rules.
We're not deleting. People take
In
the
fact,
time.
In fact, most of them haven't. Barry what? Didn't follow the rules. Belinda did.
That's why I leave it. All right. Question from John Goodman. All right, John, how you doing? Question, he says, which of the current players from this squad would get into the 86 team? Brady out.
Brady
out.
Good question. Go on, Sean.
Souček.
All right, who's he replaced?
Are you replacing him?
I know who I can give you my answer.
Creswell. I'll play Creswell at left.
All right, okay.
Who's he replacing?
George Parris or Stevie Woolford. Do you know who Souček could replace? Maybe a bit harsh on him. Alan Dickens.
And Dickens. Yeah. Did get forward well, though. Didn't mind you sort of Souček.
Plasto boy. But I don't know if I could
had
do
a good
it,
season that season, though, didn't he?
He did.
Obviously, I'd replace Phil Parks with Fabianski.
Oh, you fucking
idiot.
Just
Google
the
team from 86.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah, of course I am.
Yeah.
I'm trying
you're
to look at what position
joke you are. You're a joke.
Oh, dear.
What I'm trying to remember where... Mark Ward, right wing. So...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know you can't remember plays right wing for us, can you?
No. Well, Antonio used to.
Yeah.
You're going to pick Jeff Pike, aren't you?
I am going to pick Jeff Pike. And you know, I've got Jeff Pike up.
You're running out of midfield players from 85, 86.
I think Parky only played after Christmas, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Not that me and Nigel know about this subject all of a sudden.
Obviously, I'll get rid of Ray Stewart as well.
We'll replace him with Soufal.
Yeah. Someone cheaper. Oh, I love it.
I've replaced Alvin Martin with Ogbonna.
Yeah, right. We'll move on because we've gone to silly hour now.
Don't make him look a fucking fool anymore. God's sake.
Right, so this is the rules, people. I'm opening Twitter, Facebook now. However,
Delete ones over 150 characters?
No.
However, how many comments there are,
rules are rules.
That's what it stays at. Any new comments that come in while I'm reading, because of time constraints, because it's 20 to 9 now and I've got things to do. So there we go. So let's go. I'll go all comments. First up, it's Maid Marian.
Over 150 characters.
Oh, shut up.
In fact, well over 1,000, if truth be known.
No, he's gone. He's listened to my chat with Ian Dale, brave and enjoyable, but there was one question at the end that I would like your views on. When asked who was the academy player you wish could have had longer Hammer's career, there was no mention of Leon Britton, who had a fantastic career at Swansea. What is your thoughts on Leon? Well, we signed him from Arsenal at the age of, I'm thinking he was 18 when he joined us, actually. He might have been 17. So I don't know if you can say his youth career whether he came through our academy. I think he was a great player, but what you've got to remember, when he went to Swansea were what we would call Division 4 or League 2 now. But just to show you how good he was, he played in every league with Swansea. I think he's an absolute legend there. And he did. I think he knocked on the door England once Swansea got into the Premier League at one point. As Chancellor of the Exchequer, though, I thought it was a bit of a nightmare. Political joke. It says, do you think it was ironic that Gary Neville was critical of owners when he was an owner that sacked two managers this season? The first when his team was fifth in the league, and now they find themselves missing the playoffs. Well, not only that, is Gary Neville, to criticise owners, also changed the shirts from tangerine to red and black at Salford.
Tangerine.
Yeah, so Salford, when he bought the club, played in tangerine. I think it's all to do with they might have borrowed a kit from Blackpool.
Ah.
But yes, the 600 fans that they used to get at Salford before he turned up with his money apparently weren't impressed when they changed the colours.
Oh, I've heard this story.
So
they're not impressed with it at all. Yeah, these
just goes to show you, isn't it? You know, all this man of the people, Mr. Neville Lark. He's put with away shirts now the same as the ones that were on sale at a retailer based in Gerald Bowen's hometown. Can Sean give an update on the club's investigation?
Oh, yeah, Sean.
Yeah.
They forgot what was about the investigation? That as well.
About
Moody shirts.
M&M. Were M&M shirts.
It's a really, really good question. I need to catch up with the head of retail because,
Well, there's a question here later about, which is means you've got to catch up with the head of ticketing, because I asked you something last week and I ain't heard back.
I know.
Was it a surprise that Sean didn't go to Ledbury to pay his debt when he was in Cock?
But hang on a minute. Yeah. He was in Wales.
Well, I don't know. So, and he's gone, who's the odds on AI Sean? He's gone Belinda 2-1, Auntie Penn 5-2, Shedman 3-1, Sean 4-1, Len 7-1. He's got Dodsey 10-1. I think that's a bluff. He goes, but I'm no bookie.
I know who AI Sean is.
Oh, do you?
Do you want me to reveal it? I know you are, by the way. If you're listening, AI Sean, I could out you. I know you are.
Listen, Dodsey, look, I'll have me pound on him.
I'll give you a little small clue, right? It's going to be a small clue.
No, don't give any clues.
No. Let it go, Sean.
The first name is four letters long. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, all right. Is it Sean?
It isn't Sean, no. But it obviously means it's not Nigel and it's not Len.
It could be Len with two N's.
Nope.
No, all right.
Definitely not me.
Well, next up, it's the lovely Nana Muscuri herself, Belinda Kaikaki. This evening, peeps. Nothing to say. Happy and wowed at a certain points last night. But if that's nothing to say, then you've said something, Belle, and you should have stopped at nothing to say, frankly. See, like a good woman, she says she's got nothing to say, but then cracks on with it anyway. Like Lanzini's new role, Ben Rama was fab. Last 15 minutes were excruciating. She loves the show. Three kisses, one each.
I think you find I'll get another one further down.
Yes, you do, yeah. Yes.
I meant the thread.
Yes. That's right. Dan Perry. That's the bloke out of Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah. That was absolutely amazing last night. Amazing. Let us give Lanzini more opportunities. He thought he was a dream to watch. Cheers, Dan. Next up, this old Dodsey himself. All right, my handsome's how you's doing. That's out of the way. Brady out.
Also over 150 characters.
Nigel, he says, do you see the irony in the fact that the Super 6 fans now protesting in large numbers and our protest, which is down to two people and a flag outside the stadium? He's put, why do you feel our protest groups didn't jump on the bandwagon as the Super 6 protest is about the board's lack of understanding of the fans' needs, which is, for me, at the heart of my anger to Brady in particular? Well,
it didn't make Sky Sports, though, did it? Our protest?
No.
Of course it did.
No, it's talking about get the continued ones.
Protest.
For me, a lot of the, if people always deny this, but a big chunk of the protest, the upset, was that the stadium move was a flunk, which we now know. You didn't get what it said on the tin. To quote an advert. But then the performances, but I think people were willing to sacrifice that if we were having this season, the year of the Burnley protest, there wouldn't have been a Burnley protest. And I don't think I'm wrong for saying
that. No, I think you're right.
Len, what do you think? Because Sean's just going to go no anyway. If this season we're having now, we'd add when the 2017-18.
It wouldn't have happened. Yeah. I've already said would, that. But
shut up, you. I'm talking to Len now. Do you think that would have happened? Burnley still would have happened, the discourse?
Not inside the stadium. Outside it would have, I think.
Now that we have two Vickers amongst us, even though we can't spell Vickers.
By the way,
I think we're
hate
up to
pick you
that.
Up on this.
Yeah.
But discourse is written or spoken communication or debate. So it wasn't really discourse.
Fuck off. Sorry about
you
that. Father Chris, you're the one.
You usually pick everybody up. If they've written West Ham without a space in, you bring them up. And I bring up something that discourse is not the right word
to use. Do you know why I bring up people when they use West Ham instead of West Ham? It's because West Ham is an actual place, as
but
is West Ham.
But you also bring people up about their grammar, etc. The word you were looking for was discord, by the way. Discord meaning conflict.
Do you know why I pick people up on their grammar? Because I'm crap at it. And it makes me feel
But the word you were looking for, it was discord rather than discourse. Okay?
Do you know the word I'm thinking of now? Now that we have two vicars amongst us, instead of being called the eight listeners,
last week?
Can we be called the congregation? Well, I tried to cut you out totally, but I think it was George that mentioned you. I've done really well without mentioning you. So should we be called a congregation now? Good point.
Nice.
I like that. We are a congregation, people.
Yeah, we are. This is my church.
Yes.
This is my, you know, my Sunday.
That is my T-shirt. Brady out, he says, you're preaching to the converted.
Brady out.
When you're watching the game with all the WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, etc. groups, do you sometimes get totally distracted from the game and does that do you read in? Well, what the others will tell you is I'm fairly silent a lot of the time. I don't really get involved in the WhatsApp groups.
That's right.
Do I? Because I am watching the game or the snooker.
Well, you're also watching the
snooker.
Plus, you
tell us when there's a goal. Yeah. When before it goes in,
there's that
which
fact
is the real
as well,
bummer.
Which is yes.
I'm just going to count how many you.
Charlie Fawkes, he said a lot of talk about the West Ham way last night. When did this term first start being used, and how do you define it? He's put to me, it's a quick one-touch football on the floor with an attacking mindset. Quickly, Charlie, when did people start talking about it? The day we appointed Sam Allardyce, mate. That's when the West Ham way made a comeback in a big discussion.
It came from Greenwood, didn't it, originally?
Personally, yeah. I think it predates him. Personally, I think it's whatever you want to believe in West Ham. It's individual. The West Ham way is individual to each individual person. West Ham way for me is not quick one touch football on the floor and attacking mindset. It's like catch 22. You know?
Not being a tanner.
Yeah.
State of mind, isn't it?
No, that's exactly right. I think it is exactly right. It's different things to different people.
Yeah. But ultimately, we say what it is.
Yes. I mean, could you imagine trying to define what the West Ham way is? Asking 50 people.
Yeah.
You'll get faulty responses. Barry Meikle, given that the board cannot, will not spend more than 50 million in the summer. See, Baz, what you've done there is you've read a story on a website and taken that as gospel was true. And this is what comes back to the damage that can be done by these websites that report.
It is true.
Because people then get hung up on that and don't focus on solely the amount of players or the type of players that we want, rather just on how much money we've got and is it enough?
Excuse me, it is true. And basically, David Moyes has admitted it's true.
Yeah.
So it's not just a website. In his press release, in his press conference last week, he basically admitted it was true.
Well, Barry's not, because, see, Barry's read that and gone, given that the board cannot, /, will not, which is not true, is it, spend
What's
more
that?
Than 50 million?
Yeah, of course they can spend more than 50 million if they sell more.
He's then gone, should we stick with Lanzini, Anderson, Yarmolenko? We did cover that earlier, Baz. The money we get with selling them won't buy one decent player.
Well, do you know what? I think Moyes is a bit more canny. He actually said this about Tammy Abrahams. He said, I don't want to buy a player.
I can't afford Tammy Abrahams. That's what he said.
I cannot pay for 5 million. That's my Scottish impression. How did I do?
YouTube.
Great.
Matthew Kemp. Obviously, Spandau Ballet reunion's grinding to a halt. He says, evening, chaps. Fair play to Lanzini. Put a good performance. Has he got a future at the club? I think we did cover that earlier.
Discussed it.
Ian Knight of the Round Table says, evening all. Is it about time that fans have the option of an online season ticket to stream games legally, like a Netflix subscription?
Now.
Hold up.
Brings up
let
really
finish
good point.
It.
Come.
So then we'll go to it, because he's gone, as a Northern Amateur, really enjoyed watching all the games fall live this season. He said, I would personally travel to games live, as I always done a few times a season, but it's an expensive trip to make. I will still continue to do this regardless, but it feels like clubs, Premier League, TV companies, etc., missing a trick here to sell what I believe would be a popular service. Great night. Great win last night, and E-op the Irons, because he's a Northern Amateur, obviously.
So, go on then. Listening to my second most favourite podcast after more than just a podcast.
Price of Football.
Price of Football.
Yeah. What, and this has been in the FA, the Financial Times. What secret talks have been going on? Of course, I've run this. Between BT and Sky and the Premier League, because this month they were going to go and auction off the domestic TV rights for the next 3 years, and they don't want to do that anymore. Now, the reason why is they can see it only going one way. I don't know if you know, but the French TV deal has collapsed completely. The Chinese deal collapsed, and Germany's domestic deal has just been done at 20% lower. They see it going only one way. And even when they bought the domestic last time, it's gone down. BT Sport are now saying what are looking to be bought, right? They're looking for investors.
Like BT
to buy all of it,
are looking to
it.
Sell BT Sport.
Yeah, they are. Or find investors, whichever way, right? Because they've suddenly come to the realisation is, well, we're just bidding against each other. And while this was good in the battle of the broadband, everyone's got broadband now. And broadly, who has football? There's only a finite number of football that are prepared to pay a subscription. And they're just fighting amongst themselves. So what the Premier League want to do, and it will come back to what whoever just gave this question is, they want to roll over. So what they're saying is they want to roll over for another year, same terms, extend the deal for another year and don't go to auction. The reason why this is important is while the current domestic deal exists, and we're currently in a 3-year deal at the moment, and that will become a 4-year deal, it looks like, unless, by the way, the government come in and say anti-competition, you know, what about, I don't know, Netflix or other online people who might want it, who might crack on,
yeah,
is you can't, clubs cannot sell their rights, and there will be no online and all things while the current deal is coming on. So that's the long and short of it is, no, they're going to actually roll over the deal. They like the money they get from Sky and BT, and they don't want to spoil it yet. So it's revenue protection. Sorry, that was a long answer.
There you go.
Yeah. You can tell people to limit to 150 fucking characters hell. And then bore the shit out of us for 10 minutes over something we don't care about. I do not know.
But it ain't going to happen, right? You're not going to see, once this pandemic's over, you're not going to get every game. You're not going to have pay-per-view. You're not going to have online on season tickets. Sorry. In the future, yes. But in the current deal, no.
All right. This is a question asked by a listener. He's put, in light of Amherst chat featuring Declan Rice last night, does Sean think his years of arse-licking have been futile?
One, I tried to delete that, so I don't know how you've still got it. And two, it's from Len.
Oh, he's a listener. He's listening.
So, like last week, when you ignored my question, I'm going to ignore this question because it came for Len.
Yeah, but I ignored your question last week because you weren't here last week. Len has had the good grace to turn up. So I think you should have the good grace.
150 characters.
Well, there you go, then. Yeah. So answer the question.
I want it answered. Do you think there were them years of arse-licking have been futile when you see the success of, you know?
My understanding, right, and I know you're just trying to bait me into an answer. You're trying to bait me into an answer that will get reported somewhere.
That
so I'm
going to
give you... Huh?
I said that we already know
the answer.
My understanding is that Declan Rice decided to go on Hammer's Chat himself as a personal decision. He did not get it authorised from the club. It was not club sanctioned. In the same way that their interview with Jesse Lingard is through their management team and has not been club sanctioned. So I'm not sure the club has got anything to do with it, to answer your question, Len.
See, the great unsaid
will tell
thing,
you,
yeah.
I will
didn't,
tell
I
you.
Didn't even
let me just say this, Len. No, let me say this. I'll let me have my point. We've always been told, right? And fan sites, news sites, YouTube channel, that current players are off limits to us, and we've all been treated the same. So it is surprising.
If Declan wants to go on, you know, he can't tweet because he's.
But isn't it social media? I don't know about you, but isn't YouTube social media? When did YouTube stop becoming social media?
Well, yeah, it is for me, but I mean, I'm still pleased for him.
Oh, don't worry. Arthur Masuaku tweeted last night. I don't.
Yeah, he got overexcited, didn't he?
Yeah. Good luck to him. That's
I don't
what
think
I
anyone can blame him, though.
Anyway,
I'm looking. YouTube is considered social media platform. For the record, yeah, it is. You have a look at officially. YouTube is social media. There you go.
Oh,
anyway,
well, you know, complaints.
Declan,
to Ben Campbell,
if you want to come on the podcast,
care of
feel
West
free
Ham
to come
United
on the podcast.
Football Club.
Just to be clear, this podcast is not social media.
Oh, shut up.
But you're welcome to come on.
Not much of a podcast either.
True.
Well, it's more than just a podcast.
Yeah.
But we've
thanks
never
for that
figured
question,
out
Len.
What the frigging hell it is.
You're welcome.
I'm sure you just
I
did
just
it to try and get me in trouble.
All. No, what I wanted to do is just call. I enjoy calling you an arse licker, really. And I like to remind you that sometimes it just doesn't pay off.
But it depends on your definition and your definition of paying off.
Look, for me, I wouldn't like to talk to current players anyway, personally.
Well...
yeah. But I know you would. I know you's lot got egos, not like me. I don't like to take the centre
stage. Well, you're a cartoon.
Well, it is funny because I remember the Christmas party that me and Sean were at, and who was the two that come up to talk to us? I think it was Vaz Tay and Mo the Army.
Oh, yeah.
And I must admit, do you know what? I was glad when they walked away. And because I had no interest in really talking to him either.
But didn't I get Vaz Tay to do a recording for the podcast?
I think
to say,
did. Sean was all over him.
I'm Vaz Tay. I'm come on, you irons on more than just a podcast.
Yeah. We went to another meeting, the Sam Allardyce and Nolan was at.
And yeah, Kevin Nolan. Yeah.
Everyone queued up to have their photo done, except for one person, Sean, didn't they?
Yeah, me.
No, you was at the front of the queue. I stayed in my seat. What do I want my photograph done with that lump of lard for? And his spawn. So.
You did a selfie. I know you did.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Carrying on. Paul Oakley, our man in LA, says, all right, fellas. He's thinking that the postponed Man U versus Liverpool game will play to our advantage. As Man City will play Chelsea before Man U take to the pitch again, and a Man City win will seal the Premier League and give them victory at home. That means one more draw to Chelsea, four more wins for us, and we're in, he says. I think he's thinking Champions League. God damn it, I can't handle the pressure. God damn it! So he's been in America too long. God damn it! I was screaming at the TV the other day, if Rice comes back for Everton and if they stay fit, I actually believe we can do it. Oh, the pressure. He's also then says, Len, you've probably read it, he don't work with Pixar anymore. No. He's gone to Epic Games and do art design on Fortnite. Oh, that's and right. And he made these bad boys for the game recently. And he's got...
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at him right now.
They're very good.
Yeah.
Obviously yeah. modelled on myself and...
I like the look of the girl. She's right up my straws.
Yes.
Talking of which... No, I won't talk about my own studio. Oh,
Gary Prince, Sean's mate, says, if we win our last four, will 70 points be enough for Champions League? Brady out.
Brady
out. Quick question. Go on, go.
Well, I think it could be, and I think I have this funny feeling that Man City or Chelsea could win the Champions League and fifth place will suddenly become... a Champions League. No,
Sean, we keep doing this. Yeah.
What? Doesn't happen,
how many times do I have to explain it to you? If we finish fifth and Man City win the Champions League, the fifth place team does not go into the Champions League.
I thought it did.
Five can go in. And now that happens is the top four go in.
Someone outside
the four wins it. So Chelsea finished fifth. Yeah. But what Chelsea would happen is, the thing you're thinking of is that if we finish fourth, Chelsea finish fifth and win the Champions League, and then Arsenal win the UEFA Cup, we would have to go into the UEFA Cup.
Yeah, I know that bit. But I, for some reason, I thought if...
you were thinking, we know the damage there.
Right, okay. I'm glad I didn't write a story.
There you go. Yeah. Peter Mulholland, another one from LA on that drive.
Wow.
The GSB out crowd. Mm. Who do they actually want to own the club?
Oh,
Yanks, Arabs. He's put, what is a good owner exactly?
Exactly.
Exactly.
We ain't got enough time to really answer that. Good question, though, Pete, to be fair. It does change. I once on this podcast claimed I don't care who owns us. It could be Pol Pot, as long as it ain't them three.
But you wouldn't know, would you?
I think I've softened now. Would I want owners like I would take the Fenway Group? Yes, I'm not sure I'd be keen on Arab owners or whatever because that's never been West Ham for me. West Ham's never been for me. I've not supported West Ham to win the title, and people go, it's a lack of ambition. Perhaps it is, but that ain't why I support us. So if we never do it, I ain't going to be bothered. If we don't finish Champions League, am I going to be gutted? No, I'm not. I'm going to have enjoyed a bloody good season and I'll be happy wherever we finish. Lack of ambition? I don't care if it is. So what makes a good owner, though? That's a tough question.
Be careful what you wish for.
No.
Reg Pratt. He makes a good owner.
Yeah, he was good.
Does he? Was he really an owner? Yeah. He wasn't an owner, though, was he?
No.
He was a chairman, you see. You've fallen into that trap.
Well, who owned the club then? Define owner then back in those days. Because they were all shareholders.
Who owned the shares? Reg Pratt was not a shareholder from memory.
Yes, he was.
Was he, though?
What memory have you got? Have a day off. From memory.
Memory. He was. I thought he was a chairman.
See, you've done it again. You've fought, haven't you? Yeah.
Right. Reg Pratt was from the days of the Cairns family. Yeah.
Cairns.
Well, that was a Cairns, that's a long.
You always correct me.
Era.
They own the shares.
Do you know? Add Reg Pratt.
Directors don't automatically become shareholders. Add
Reg Pratt. Get to be on the board.
You did tell me this before, and I can't remember.
There you go. So, but you fought.
But did he own shares?
So his dad, Frank Pratt, bought into the club. Yeah? Frank Pratt of the Timber Yard.
Answer me this.
On that. Of course they own shares in the club. Yes.
How many shares did Reg Pratt own? And where did those shares go?
I can tell you, but I can't do it on here.
Oh.
All right.
That makes it more interesting.
So.
Oh, yeah.
It's possible... I did have a list, actually. I did have a list that they were, I'm not sure the Pratt family still owned them. That in 2006, remember this club technically never changed full ownership until 2006 when the Icelandics bought us.
Don't give away too much.
Yeah. Right? So
Frank Pratt was a timber merchant director.
I just told you that.
We know that.
Just, did I not just tell you that?
You spend all day, every day, tell us
stuff that we
telling
know.
Telling us stuff we already fucking know. Most of it we told you. And you send us a Google link about it. Like, we don't know
Donna
it.
Darby. We've done all that. And half no, hour later, Donna you're Darby. Sending us videos.
How do we she was get on, in touch
she was
with
one of...
Oh, shut up, you.
We know
she was in
this.
Kenny Everett. And we she know did a video this. For Huey Lewis and the News. No, not Huey Lewis.
No, it wasn't. It
Robert
was
Palmer.
Robert Palmer. We know this. That was, we know that.
Did you know she used to model for the catalogue on the club store?
Yes.
Yes.
Because oh, I told okay. you that. all right, where did she have we her food thought- stall, Sean?
She had a food stall just down Green Lane where the sweet stall used to be.
Well done.
Later.
Yeah. Paul Nolan. He
Is
says,
that true?
No. 150 words be difficult, but here we go.
Characters, not words.
Oh. Do we think Champions League is gone and will be Europa League? No, I don't think. I think we're still on for Champions League. Chelsea, as I was talking to a Tottenham fan, and I confused what football club he spoke about. I said, you got a tough run in, didn't you? He said, and you got to play like Leicester and Man City. And he went, no, no, no. And he said something. I went, oh, I forgot you're Tottenham, innit? I keep forgetting. I'm looking up, not down. He did laugh. He did chuckle. He said, how many years you've been waiting to say that to me? But anyway,
quite a few,
so I think we'll go. I think Champions League's still on. Yes?
Yeah.
Right, blimey. Sean, quick, super. Supercomputer says it's between us and the Scousers, whatever that is. Burnley quiz question. In which season did we record our Premier League double over them?
Premier League double?
This season?
I'm thinking...
We have done a double over them this season.
Yeah, was it... No, yes, but when... Again, did we do it in 2010? Over them. I think it was.
Yeah, the when we went... went a few goals behind, didn't we? And then we beat them.
I don't know if there was a cup game. It was around that time we beat them 5-3, where we were 5-0 up. And they got it back to 5-3. But I can't remember if that was a cup game or not.
I could be getting mixed up with that.
And then, yeah, I don't know. Good question, Paul. Sean will Google it and tell us the answer. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Jack.
A couple of times, probably.
Talking of needing to speed up, it's Jack Rush.
Hey.
Evening, gents. What are your thoughts on Issa Diop? He's gone now. He's had 80 Prem appearances now, and if anything, has regressed. Ooh. Would you take 10 to 15 million and reinvest in a young centre-back? Well, he is a young centre-back, though, Jack. I'm not sure I would, to be honest. I'm happy with him. But it makes a good point, though. With Oggy and Dawson ageing and Balbuena leaving in the summer, we need to invest in one centre-back this summer and perhaps promote Alves, Baptiste or Elise.
4 games left. Let's see what happens.
Brady out.
Ed Hughes has gone early. Thoughts on the upcoming transfer window?
Oh.
Not yet.
111 million.
Oh, right. Whoever Moyes wants in, out. Whoever Moyes wants, he goes. That's his thoughts. So Ed's thoughts on the transfer window is to come in, whoever Moyes wants, to go out, whoever Moyes doesn't want. Moyesiah, we trust. Next up, it's that soul-singing superstar of the whole of Tenerife. It's Michael Levy Jr. Let's hope he hasn't left his lead behind like he did the other day. Heil, he said, if you had the power to make any member of our squad injury-proof and 100% all of the time, who would you choose? Good question. We've never had anything like this.
Yeah.
He's gone for Antonio. Brady out.
Oh, yeah. Brady out. I'm going with him there.
Yeah, I agree with him as well.
Injury proof. I'd go Declan myself.
Which he's pretty much injury-proof.
No, I know, but then it, you know, until some idiot opened their mouth up and shown that he hadn't been injured and what a run of appearances he's had.
Who was that?
Don't know, some idiot.
Sometimes I think you don't like me.
Oh, Sean.
Shut up, you idiot.
It wasn't you, it was idiot. Me. Sean.
Good evening, chaps. Happy Amateur Day.
I thought you meant it was me.
No, it was me.
I was glad it was you. I certainly don't like you.
Look in the mirror. Paul Sanders, this is the Colonel. He says he's an happy hammer. He was impressed with our performance. Another one, though, with the exception of Diop, who worries me. He's not expecting anything. Happy to still be in the Umpa Champions League. He has got a question. If Lanzini's potential CDM solution, what would yous spend the cash that we probably earmarked for that position on?
I don't think we earmark. It doesn't work like that.
Quickly, can you do it quickly? How does it work then?
Well, he knows how much he's got to spend on wages and down payments, and he works within a budget, but it's not like 20 million a year, 30 million. It just doesn't work like that, you know? He works within a budget of cash flow. How much cash can go out? Right, he understands it. He's a proper manager. He understands that, you know. I know no one else likes me talking about wages, agents' fees, and everything else. But in the real world, back in the real world, not one of everyone's obsessed just about how much a player costs up front. That's not what they look at. They look at how much does he cost over a period of time. What wages is he going to cost? What's the agent fee? Can we put him in our budget? Right, that's the real world. Right, that's a short answer.
That's how it works. Brady out.
Brady out.
Oh, by the way, the only reason I'm not saying Brady out this time is I wrote an article about Karen Brady, how she's a victim of social media. And someone came back into the article and said, you've got a cheek, right? You talk about, you know, how it's vile and disgusting that she gets grief every week. And on your podcast, you shout abuse Brady out at every
Brady segment. Out.
Is that abuse, son?
How's that abuse Brady out?
So I'm giving her a week
I
off.
I thought it was a
Brady
state
out.
Of mind.
Definitely.
I haven't changed my view, but yeah, I'm having a week off from joining in.
Took that spine out again, have you?
No, I'm just saying. No. No, hang on a minute.
All right.
After this week, you're having a week.
All
off.
Right, jellyfish.
It's the week of social media abstinence, and I'm joining in with my refraining from Brady out.
Well, if you're having a week of abstinence, whatever you do, don't go on Amazon United and post anything in praise of the owners, mate, because you'll get. I don't know what bloke done that, but my life, boy, did he get dogs abuse.
Did he?
Yeah, and this is the thing I don't get is that if you defend the owners on there for anything, people actually question we're a West Ham fan, and you know it's just.
Can I tell you a story? A quick story.
Come on in.
I'm not a member of Hammers United, right? And I wanted to know what was going on there, so I did apply to join a group. And to be fair, Paul Colborn came back to me and said, "Hello, Sean."
Really?
Surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sure you want to join?
I'm surprised you want to join. You know, and I said, look, I don't agree with your aims, etc., but I'm a journalist and I'm trying to know what goes on here.
Then why do you keep saying
you're
that?
You're a fucking journalist. Fucking hell.
So anyway,
I'm a fucking journalist.
So he said, look, if you want to join, you can, but you've got to become a member. And I said, well, it'll be a bit hypocritical for me to become a member.
Never stopped you in the past.
I said, I don't want to become a member of Hammers United, but I do want to look what goes on in your group. And he said, well, the two things are linked, which is fair enough. So I respected his.
So he didn't let you join?
Well, I had to be. He said I could join if I became a member.
Or used another name. Said, anyway, moving on.
Is that what you do?
Yeah. It's old Happy Chops himself, Stelios Kyriakou, another one whose glass is always half full, never half empty. A team by design or default, would Moyes have played that team if Noble was available? I'll tell you what, if there's a man,
that's a really good question.
Isn't it?
Dear, which is quite unusual for Stelios to come up with a good question, but he has got quite a good one there.
Has he? Well, go on and answer it if you think it's good.
I think Noble would have played. Quite simply.
All right. Who cares? That's what I'll say. Next up, it's Lily Savage's brother, Darren O'Grady. He says, evening, gentlemen. The Folkestone out of town are supporting from sunny Vancouver. It's nice, isn't it? That's where they found Kurt Cobain's Zid. Lanzini looked like a diamond again yesterday. And Benrahma finally started to look like the player we had heard about. Do you think we might have finally found another system? Do you know what? That was very attack-minded, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But Barry Meckle's point up, obviously they're two Canadians having a chat. So that's where our son's gone. In Ontario, it's rained all week.
Is it another system, or is it just players with just a bit more forward momentum? Because that's what I seem to think. I think the system might have been the same, but the players, let me get back to Noble here, you know, what Noble does, he doesn't pass the ball forward with pace or move with pace. And having more pacier players and players that pass the ball forward creates more attacking momentum. That's more openings, more shots. And if you look at Antonio, he's not exactly more deadly. If you look at Benrahma, he still had the same mistakes that people criticising for, me being one of them. But it looks better. And it don't get me wrong, when you see the final sort of score, we didn't score as many or look as comfortable as we did with games with Noble in, like the games that we went 3-0 up with. But I think people often just prefer to watch that. And it often, it feels better watching that.
Yeah.
10 minutes to finish.
All right. AI Sean here says, I hope all those out of town has enjoyed Surrey Day. Did you enjoy it, Sean?
I don't know what Surrey Day is.
It was a national day. I wished you a happy National Day. It was a real thing. I found it. I thought, well, that's a bit stupid, isn't it? So I thought I'd wish you a happy Surrey Day.
Well, proper Surrey people don't celebrate Surrey Day. Come on.
I don't know. All right.
Nah.
We need Penfold back this week as AI Sean conducted a poll. Oh, by the way, that's you, Sean. AI Sean conducted a poll on the shocking news that Claret and Spew could well be found behind a paywall soon.
When's that happening, Sean?
That's not true,
Hang on a minute.
It won't be fine. You can pay to not get the adverts. So you can still get it for free if you want to try and... And, of course, if you download Adblocker, you get it for free anyway. The good news for Sean is that 3%...
It's not a paywall.
Yeah, it's not a paywall, people. It's not.
No, it's not. Definitely not a paywall.
You've got to pay.
It's like ITV Player. You can buy ITV ad-free. Yeah. It's an ad-free site.
Yeah. So the adverts are like a wall. Yeah. And if you want to pay to look behind that wall without looking at it, then all well and good. But the rest of us plebs either look at the wall and then peek over the top of it, the little crumbs we get, or we just decide not to look. He says the good news for Sean is that 3% of people will pay however much it takes to continue reading CNH. The bad news is 97% will have to be paid to read CNH. And before Sean complains, this was statistically a high significant poll, given that four times the number of listeners of the podcast took part. So 32 people voted. And 96.9%
Can I tell you an interesting fact?
Go on in.
This month, we're going to hit our 100th million visitor in Clarendon Hugh, which I think is a bit of a milestone. 100 million visits.
That's a coincidence, Sean.
Why is that?
Because this month, I drew my 1,000th portrait.
Wow.
It's quite a milestone. And thus released my new range of portraits that are hero portraits. That means you
great
can get
link.
Drawn.
Great link.
It was great link, wasn't it? Drawn with a West Ham hero, and it's presented in a handmade mount signed by the player in the hero portrait. Mm-hmm. And with Father's Day coming up in 40-odd days, would that fly? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's got to be the ideal for... I mean, he's so good, Nigel would buy one for his dad. That's how good that is. And he barely sees it.
Or what you do, people, is screenshot yourself from a picture that he's done where you're next to John Lyle and Billy Bonds and just... I'll just use that as your screensaver.
Yeah, 7 minutes.
No, but these are physical ones signed by the player, touched by him.
Oh, right. Yeah, but you can't...
Ray Stewart is the first
unless
hero
you can
available.
Dig Johnny Lowe up, mate. It ain't going to happen.
Exactly. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the people who have passed or, you know...
Well, I can...
Actually, they're not very popular. It's strange. Because I'm also selling this week a lovely portrait called The Heroes, which are three famous World Cup winners, each holding the trophy of our history.
Now, that is a nice picture.
It is. That's my favourite. That's my best one I've done. I've only sold four.
No, that's mad.
There you go. Get them while they're hot.
All right.
Yeah.
Last question. Save the best.
How many of those 100 million visits were you over the last 5 or 6 years, Nigel?
Oh, we're back to Clarendon Hugh.
Yeah.
Well, you did used to publish my stuff on
I
there.
Think, yeah. You haven't written for us for a long time, actually.
Well, my sort of writing got a bit too contentious, if I'm rightly remember.
Really?
Even though I think I had one...
I don't think we banned you, did we? We don't think we banned you.
Oh, listen, you banned me from the Facebook site and following the Twitter account.
Yes, well, that's
thank
true.
You. Right, so we go on ban. So it's a bit funny to have someone writing for him who can't even go on the Facebook page to advertise. He wrote an article.
Oh, I don't go on the Facebook page. I don't really do Facebook anymore.
Well, you had
anyway,
that nutty on. Woman doing it, didn't you? So anyway. I think my one article on Claret and You gave me more abuse than any other article I ever wrote. And do you want to know what that article was? It was the article I wrote on the Friday morning of August the 5th after the very first game at the Olympic Stadium. And
why did you get more grief about that than anything else?
Because I wrote, funny enough, how bad the stadium was.
Oh.
No, how bad the stadium was. And Hugh did say to me, the problem is, Nigel, you're like pissing on their parade and people don't like it. And it was on Facebook.
You love pissing. Well, you do love pissing,
you know,
on
there
parade.
Was so
you do
many...
like pissing.
don't drag your like bedroom tactics into the conversation, Sean. Never.
You do love gogging showers, Nigel.
Never.
How you brought this into it? I didn't bring anything about that into it.
Right. So, anyway. Adam Levitt, how you doing? Cool. Asked a question.
4 minutes.
About season ticket cards.
Yeah, I know.
So,
look,
Adam, I just want to point out. I see what you asked.
Throw me under the bus
on whatever, and I took it to Sean last week, and I lied. About season ticket cards, and now the club have not thought this through. Who did they discuss this with? Did they talk to the disabled about this. Did they talk to any old irons about this? Because like my uncle has not got a smartphone, does not have a computer, does not have access to anything like that. How would he do it? So there's going to be no season ticket cast next year. I think the club should allow us, if we have to, even to pay a pound or a couple of quid to have the physical card. I'd pay it.
Yeah, I like a bit of physical.
Collector's items.
I don't want it. It ain't about collector's items. Well, it is with me because I do collect them. But what I'm saying is it ain't about a collector's item. It's about having it. I don't want it on smartphone.
You did ask me this.
Yes.
No, I don't want it on smartphone.
I haven't asked.
I knew you hadn't asked. Yeah,
I was away.
No, you weren't. And also you because didn't I texted you question. And said, "When are you at home?"
All right, I
and
forgot then.
Said,
it's I've had a lot on.
You rang me up when you got home, so I made sure I wanted right. to actually. Use
yeah, you did. You did. You did. You're right. Right.
Well,
all right. One more. Where's it gone?
Is it about crypto? We had the crypto question this week.
Is there a crypto question?
I don't mean, by the way,
I've got to ask this one. You ready? It's Nicholas Harvey. Evening, gentlemen. He's going to be briefed this week. A great starting lineup. Even though I thought Nick had already asked a question. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I'm going to be briefed this week. A great starting lineup from Moyes, showing he really wanted 3 points. Well-deserved victory. Some great performances. Lanzini, 4-0. Not heard 4-0 mentioned. I thought he had another brilliant game.
Yeah, he did have a good game.
Champions League, yes or no? We'll finish on this.
Oh, what a thing to finish
what?
On.
Champions League, yes or no? Yes.
Len?
If we can beat Everton.
You've made it even harder for me now.
You know, by the way, just to make this a bit harder for you, Chelsea play Man City, Leicester, and Arsenal in the last 4 games.
Do you know what though? I think Chelsea could be the best team in the league at the minute. Honestly, and this
they're
is what
beat Man City.
Well, they could do.
We'll see.
Leeds United beat him.
I mean, I'm not digressing, but it was a yes or no answer.
Sorry, yeah. Okay. No. But I still think even if we win 3 out of 4, it could still be no with Chelsea. That's what bothers me. I'm going to say no. I'll fucking hope I'm wrong.
I will say...
What do you say, Nudge?
The dream is on.
Yeah,
yes.
Good.
I think we will win all 4 games. I think we will get 70 points. And I think we will finish above Chelsea.
Wow.
Dear.
Jessica.
I'd love to see that.
Jessica could still be a West Ham fan. Let me ask you a quick question while I remember it. I was sorting out some
with
stuff.
We're down to 1 minute, and, Sean.
And I know we've got everything else. I have got some London Stadium. You know I collected these. Stewarding handbooks that have got all kinds of useful information. I've got about 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah,
I was going to throw them out. Do you want
them?
No,
collection? Don't throw them out. Yeah, I'll have them. Yeah.
Got various people's, like directors' mobile numbers and stuff.
I'll have them. Do you know what I've got, which is quite funny? I don't know.
Go on.
Does anyone from the club listen to this?
Not really often.
It don't matter. So we did a tour of the stadium. We took the National Autistic Society Thurrock branch, took the kids on a tour.
Yeah.
So when you go on a tour, they give you this like iPad type thing. So you can, the interactive tour.
Yeah, you kept it.
I kept mine, didn't give it back.
Oh, Nigel.
So,
oh, dear.
When you say an iPad.
So
thing.
I found a charger, I can charge it up and do the tour in my shed. Oh, it's at the London Stadium, though.
Anyway, predictions, I guess, is it? How are you doing on Super 6, by the way? Giving up?
Go on, do predictions. I'll have a look because people do ask.
All right, predictions. Everton, Len.
We're home, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a draw.
Okay, fair enough. I'm gonna nab the 1-0 win if you don't mind, Len.
Yeah, you've knocked yourself out.
Okay, brilliant.
Generally
Nigel
does. I fancy us 3-1.
Oh, I'd be all right.
Antonio.
The feeling, if we win with three games to go, having beaten Everton, man, the euphoria for it.
Oh, yeah. Place. I mean, you've got Brighton who are relegation.
They're not relegation, we've never beat in the Premier League era.
Yeah. Then we've got West Brom.
Who will
be relegated shots. By then. And then we've got Southampton who at home, which hopefully we're going to, which have had a pretty awful season.
You know that's the game we lose to miss out on Champions League football.
You know that, don't you?
It doesn't sound good.
Because the crowds are back there. Anyway, what's your prediction?
I just did it. 3-1.
Oh, you did say 3-1. Sorry. Super six.
Right. No wonder you asked for a start.
Why?
As if you don't know.
What?
Shall I read out the top four?
Yes.
Yeah, so in fourth spot is Kevin Birchall on 428. What? Top four, I said.
Who's fifth?
Samantha Cooney on 419.
Who's six?
Also on 419 is Penfold. So
I had a low scoring week as well.
Yeah, not as low as me.
Why? You forgot to do it?
No, I did it. I made it worse.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you can't get minus figure.
No. Kevin Birchall's on 428, so he's 9 ahead of you, Sean.
Yeah, I know.
Paul Thornton Chocolates is on 431 in third spot. Only one point above. Now, I'm not saying this would be a great person to win for me, because in second spot is Nick Irons. And I hope that's your real last name, Nick, on 432. 4 points clear with about 3 or 4 weeks to go. I think it's only 3 weeks ago, is Clive Selden on 436. Still all to play for. We're still doing ABS. But I live in hope. Come on, Sam Cooney. You can do it, Gil.
How many in the league?
71.
More than 34. Because I'm 34th.
Crikey.
Yeah,
I only scored 2 points this week. Oh, but I still moved up from 6th to 5th place.
Yeah, I'm 70 points.
It was a hard one this week.
The only thing I'd say about this season, and I'm not making excuses, people, is that it's only been one Premier League game a week, and the rest has been the Championship. And in the Championship, anyone can beat anyone. So that's my excuse.
I have a strategy though.
Oh, we know that. I noticed, though, old maid Miriam copied you the other week with that strategy.
Did he?
Yeah. With the old 1-0.
This is just 1-0. Yeah.
Anyway, we're well over 2 hours. Are we done for the week?
Suppose so.
Permission to leave, sir?
Position granted.
Yeah.
I've been Sean. Nigel has been...
arguing with Virgin Media.
Did you win?
I did.
And Len has thought about what he's going to say, and he has been...
yeah. Dealing with heroes. There.
Come on, you Irons! Bobby Moore. More than just a bye. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Back next week. We're a full crew, maybe.
And a current player.
Thomas Suchek, potato salad king. And Hammer of the
Year. He's on next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.